This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Here we go into the happy hour, everybody. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. 5:01 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. We're spread out all over the southwestern part of the United States today. Scraby's in the Odyssey Palace in San Diego. Tony, Peoria, Arizona, where the Padres defeated the Royals. Well, they're not in Peoria, but in the Phoenix area, the Padres recorded a victory over the Royals today, 6-3. And Oscar Mercado hit a couple of home runs for the Friars today. I'm in Albuquerque, New Mexico, so we are truly spread out today as we bring you the program. And got a happy hour to go here, and we got to finish up our Big Five. And Padres
sorry to
win.
Tony. I'm sorry to Tony because I told him to go. And then he looks at me in the camera, and I'm pointing at him, and I thought he was saying, I'm finishing chewing something. And so I tell Chris, you have to do it. He's chewing something. And then we open the cameras, and he's like, I was ready to go, bro.
What? Oh, come on. It's great.
I literally said, welcome back in to Gwynn and Chris. And you know, it's funny. I said 6:02 on the clock. And that's when you came in, and you were like kind of laughing. So I thought you were like making fun of me for using the wrong time again.
Oh no!
But actually, you were just coming in because you couldn't hear me talking over you.
Oh my God! You know, Scraby, you'd make a terrific traffic cop. I got to tell you.
Well, I would not
try to organize this thing.
I have too many different hand signals for the traffic. Okay.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Yes, but your hand signals don't work when we're on the when we're spread out like this.
I know. The being spread out thing, we have to get used to this again. But
yeah, we do.
Did you guys want to go with this final Big Five topic before we get back into spring training? Okay, so let's get to it.
Number one.
Now, we all know that LIV has a bunch of great players now golfing under their name, but the Masters invited 12 LIV guys to the tournament. And so apparently that's roughly 20% of LIV golf is going to be at the Masters. But Taylor Gooch, who plays for LIV, he did an interview with Australian Golf Digest, and he did not receive an invitation to the Masters. So this is what he said, and Rory McIlroy catching strays over here. He said, if Rory McIlroy goes and completes his Grand Slam without some of the best players in the world, there's just going to be an asterisk. It's just the reality. And then the internet took a turn on Taylor Gooch and decided that they were going to tell him that no one really cares about him in his golfing because no one really knows who he is. But again, 20% of LIV is in Masters. So this golf reporter, Dan Rappaport, is saying, so what Taylor Gooch really means is there'd be an asterisk on Rory's win because Taylor Gooch isn't in the field. So my question on this one would be, and I'm going to go with Tony first. Does he have a point on Nah? Overreaction Or nah. Remember that game we did?
Wait, because he didn't get invited to the Masters?
He is claiming it's because LIV golfers didn't get invited. Some of the LIV golfers. So some of the best players in the world aren't going to be there.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm sorry, Mr. Gooch. I don't know that you qualify. You clearly don't qualify to go. So, I mean, it's a big old hang with him.
Yeah. It's kind of a bad quote.
Big old hang with him. Yeah.
Chris, what do you think?
Well, what I think is when you brought up in the last segment that we're going to talk about Taylor Gooch, I had no idea what sport we were even going to talk about. So I've never even heard of this guy. So, you know, it's a good way for him to get his name out there. But, you know, I'm not a fan of guys getting their name out there by saying stupid stuff. And he clearly just said stupid stuff here. I'm sure they're taking the top 12 LIV golfers.
They are
the biggest names.
There's going to be 12 LIV golfers in the field, which is roughly 20% of LIV's roster.
Yeah, I'm not taking anything away from anybody if they. I mean, Rory McIlroy to win the Grand Slam—that's quite a claim, by the way. I don't know that anybody's ever won the golf Grand Slam.
Oh, no, they have
in a calendar year.
Ooh,
you got to go back to like Bobby Jones in 1920 or something like that.
Or no, Tiger did the Tiger Slam.
Yeah, he did the Tiger Slam. But I mean, to go ahead and predict that somebody might win the golf Grand Slam,
he's saying career Grand Slam because Rory only needs a Masters victory.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
I see.
What he's talking. Yeah, okay. He's not saying in the full year.
Yeah, well, there's no asterisk. I'm sorry. I mean, you win any golf tournament, there's no asterisk as far as I'm concerned. You know how hard it is to win a golf tournament? Come on.
It's
one of the hardest things in sports. You got like 100 people in the field. How many people are in the Masters field? 80? 75? 80?
Probably around there. Maybe up to 100, depending on the old guys.
You
got to
have a lot of things go well for you. It's crazy. I don't know. Did you see the story that John Rahm is trying to talk Tiger into joining the LIV Tour and Tiger won't return his phone calls?
No.
Yeah. He's ghosted anyway.
Tiger's telling John Rahm to leave him alone, basically.
I don't know if it's about John Rahm wanting to get Tiger to come to LIV or if it's about John Rahm trying to explain himself moving to LIV.
Oh, I see.
I'm not sure. It was kind of confusing, but I think it's John Rahm just wants to kind of, you know, explain. I don't know if he wants to explain himself about why he made the move, but he clearly wants to have that conversation.
He doesn't have to explain $600 million whatever they paid him.
He doesn't.
I was watching the match last night, and it was the golf tournament that was on TNT, and it just doesn't, like, golf just doesn't feel the same to me anymore. And it doesn't feel like it's something that I could really follow right now. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
I think the Masters you can follow.
Oh,
I mean, the Masters to me is legit.
Are you kidding me?
The Masters is...
He had that bad boy ready.
Thank you, friends. Thank you, friends. The Masters is certainly legit. I think the majors are still legit. But, yeah, the rest of the sport needs a pick-me-up right now, and they need to figure out a way to combine these two tours. But, the one thing I found was interesting with the match last night was that you had, you know, the LPGA players, you know, what was it?
Lexi Thompson and Rose Zhang.
Yeah, you had them playing alongside Homa and
McIlroy.
And Rory.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the one thing that I think is fabulous about golf, that you can get the LPGA players out there with the guys, and they can hold their own. I mean, obviously there's a different tee for them, you know, but that sport still works in that regard. And I'm bringing this up because apparently John McEnroe got himself into some hot water a short time ago. Because he claimed, somebody asked him how Serena Williams would do if she played on the men's tour when she was in her prime. And John McEnroe said she'd get her butt kicked. And everybody thinks that he's being sexist and he's being, you know, he's taking a shot at Serena. He's just answering the question. And he said he doesn't think she'd even be in the top 100 in the world on the men's tour. And people really gave him a hard time about that. But I hate to say it. John McEnroe is 100% right. On the tennis tour, it's a whole different ball game. It's a whole different world out there. And even Serena admitted as much that if she were out there, I mean, there's no way she could, you know, return serves and read the shots of these guys. It's too much pace. And it's a different deal in tennis. And I sometimes I think people just try to pick on John McEnroe to pick on him. And I like his honest approach, and in this case, he wasn't political, but he was right. I hate to say it. You guys just going to leave me hanging there?
Yeah, I'm just going to let everybody think about that. Let that sink in for a second. No, it's like Annika Sorenstam when she played on the PGA Tour that one time in Texas, and she definitely held her own, but she didn't. I don't think she made the cut or she was far off of the lead. But even she was like, yeah, this is a different kind of animal because of the distance, because of some of the ways that the golf course plays and certain things like that.
She was trying to hit approach shots from 180 yards, yeah. Where the other guy hitting approach shots from 80 yards.
And also,
it was a big advantage.
180 yards for a PGA Tour player is like a 8-iron, 9-iron almost. And then for LPGA players, it might be a 4-iron or a 5-iron or something like
that. Yeah, I mean, it's no shame. In the fact that the women in golf and in tennis, it's not the same sport. It's okay. We still love, I love the women's tennis tour better than the men's tour. I like watching them play better, but that doesn't mean that they can beat the men, and it's okay. John McEnroe was just stating a truth.
All right.
I'm glad I'm out here on this island by myself.
Wait, ask me the question, please.
Oh, you, wait, what? Well, The golf question?
That's what I'm confused. How did we get to?
Because I brought up the match. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I don't disagree with you, Chris. I mean, I know that's. I don't know why that doesn't need to be sexist though. That's just like.
No, it's not. Yeah.
It's you know, I think that's just a fact. You know, I doesn't mean they couldn't hang. It just means like it would be something if Serena was out there, because she's the hardest serve. She was when she was on tour. She was the hardest serving female. Right? It was like you see like 120.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Right. Those guys are like getting it at like what one like 150.
Oh my goodness! Something crazy like that.
I mean, they can handle it. They had some exhibition where Serena and Venus both played against some guy who was about 250 in the world, and you know, unfortunately for Serena and Venus, they lost 6-1, and then the other one lost 6-0. I mean, they didn't get anything off this guy, and I mean, these men they're at a whole nother level, and that's okay. I still love the women's tennis tour. I love to watch them play. I know they're in San Diego this week.
Yeah, the women's tour is by far the better, in my opinion.
It's more enjoyable to watch. I really like the tennis and the way they play. And, you know, there's a little more, you know, volleying back and forth and placement and things like that. The men are just so powerful. It's, you know, they just blow each other off the court with their serve. All right, never mind. Let's move on to something to get me out of this.
It's all good.
We are in three different spots, and it's we're lagging in one spot, and so we'll make it right. But did you hear? Well, we do need to talk some Padres. Get your guys' quick opinions in the next segment. But also, Tyreek Hill is in the news again for something not good, and so I'll have to tell you about that too.
We doing that on the other side?
Yeah, let's head to traffic.
Let's go to track.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
/6:19 here in the desert. 5:19 there in San Diego. Tony Gwynn Jr. Hello. Matthew Scraby.
It's also 6:19 here in Albuquerque, Tony, in case you're wondering.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
6:19 in the Kirk.
In the Kirk, yeah.
In the Kirk.
Tony's really trying to get the Kirk.
No, the Kirk. I'm not trying. The Kirk has already been there, man. It's been like that since I was.
How many games do you play here, Tony? Do you ever play in Albuquerque in the PCL? Or?
Yes, I did. I played for the Isotopes for quite some time.
That's awesome. That is awesome that you got to play for the Isotopes, because I think that's one of the best names in minor league baseball.
I got to play for the Isotopes. I got to play in that stadium when it first opened in the Mountain West Conference Championship in 2003.
Yeah, it's right across the street from the university, isn't it? The Isotope Field?
Yeah.
And it's a bandbox, from what I recall.
It plays like a bandbox because of the wind that runs through there at, 12, 13, 14 miles per hour. And you're up in altitude too. So you got like the best of both worlds, wind and light air as a hitter. So I enjoyed hitting there for sure. Where are we going? Did we talk about this? About this segment? I know we got next segment.
Yes, we got some quick reaction to the spring training game today from where you were sitting, Tony, because Chris was traveling, so you could fill us in, and then we were going to touch on Tyreek Hill at some point.
I like I said earlier, I think there were some high notes. Morten Holm looked good. Cosgrove looked good. Yu Darvish was phenomenal to start today. Jackson Merrill continues to impress. Today he was in center and looked good. You had Mercado, who had the two homer day. He did his thing. Padres they had a good day today. This was one of their better days in terms of trying to work on some of the things that they didn't do well as a team last year, and then individual performances as all of the battles, start. It seemed like all the outfielders didn't hurt themselves today that were in competition. The relievers all threw the ball. I mean, Suarez was probably the only one who didn't throw the ball that well in his one inning of work. Depending on with what's going to happen, what's up with Matsui and those back spasms, because remember, he's not built up. He's still, that was his one and only outing. So he's going to be behind when he is able to come back and play. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops. But all in all, today was a good day.
One thing I'd like to know, Tony, is you were talking in the fourth or fifth broadcast with Jesse that you're still kind of getting your game legs under you in the booth.
Oh, yeah.
But where's Jesse Agler? I mean, has he just hit the ground running? Is he already in midseason form, or is he trying some new things out as well?
I would say that he would tell you that he's not in midseason form right now.
He sounds like he is.
We are both working, trying to find a rhythm and you know, these games, it's difficult because, you know, you got so many changes. It's hard to get into a flow.
Right. You don't know who's in the game.
When the characters change so often. And so, but, you know, that's kind of, them's are the breaks of spring training. And so what I like about spring training, you know, is by the end, you've got to see, like, some of the people who were competing that fell short or some of the young guys that come up and have some good springs. And you just kind of pile that in the back of your head because then the next year comes. And you got to have a little bit of an expectation of what you're gonna see from them.
Yeah, and the other thing about spring training nowadays is even when you're playing the Royals, you know you're going to see them again in the regular season because you see everybody in the regular season. So you get a little preview of all, you know, a lot of those teams.
Did you guys see that? I didn't see it yet, but I heard Ohtani went deep today.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, and let me
tell
you.
He just launched it onto the lawn. Left center field, Tony. And I don't know how he hit it there because it was an inside pitch. And you tell me how a left-handed hitter takes an inside fastball and, in a lot of ways, inside outs it over the wall. I mean,
come on. Some kind of strong.
That is impressive. And it was his second or third at bat, Scrape?
It was his third at bat. Here's my issue is that last night on the Scrape show, I went off about the Juan Soto coverage and how ridiculous and sensational they're making everything that he does in New York. And because I logged onto MLB.com yesterday, and right in the middle of the page, Juan Soto, mid-season form. It's like, really? It's been two games in spring training. But what the MLB posted was Shohei Ohtani goes deep in his spring training Dodger debut. And so I was like, no way did this guy hit a first at-bat home run. It wasn't. It was the third. They were dressing the pig up to make it look a little bit more dramatic.
It was actually the fifth.
Third at-bat. Yeah, third at-bat.
But still, you got to give the guy a little credit, Scrabe. He's been sitting on the sidelines coming off a surgery. He hasn't played in a game in 5 months, and he launches one.
I said last night, I'm not mad at the athlete. I am mad at the headline writer.
That ball was like in or third. He freaking just
yeah, you don't hit those to left center field, right, Tony? That's when you turn on.
That's big guy stuff right there.
That's big guy stuff.
Nonetheless, Padres had a good day today. I wish I knew who was throwing tomorrow. I think I can't remember who. I think I saw it earlier today.
Let me go look.
We'll be at White Sox, I believe.
Yes, it's farther for you.
Shy Sox.
Yay.
Tomorrow. Glendale.
How was the traffic today, Tony?
Oh, it was atrocious. it was so bad. So bad. Took me an hour and some change to get back into the house.
What is it, like 10 miles away?
No. I'm staying further out this time.
But still, an hour. That's crazy.
No. That is crazy. It's Matt Waldron tomorrow, the knuckleballer.
He pitched good his first outing. He did.
Camelback Ranch. That's the farthest one, right? That's where the Dodgers play?
No, not even close.
Oh, no. I didn't know that.
The farthest one is Mesa, where we're going, I think, the Thursday.
Oh, that's the one you're like, I can't make it.
Yeah, that's going to be that's the Oakland one right there, I believe.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's what I said. Ugh.
I know.
Aztecs are, when do Aztecs play again?
They're tonight.
They're tonight.
Got San Jose State. They got the late game tonight, 8 o'clock.
Oh, I saw CBS. I can watch it.
Little CBS Sports Network. And, you know, I mean, this is a gimme on paper. I mean, the Aztecs are favored by 21 points. But as Brian Dutcher said today in Mark Ziegler's article, he doesn't remember any of that. All he remembers is the first time they played San Jose State. They needed an unbelievable play by Jay Powell to block the last second shot and win the game. And he's not taking this one for granted, and he doesn't take it for and Ziegler had a great article, as he always does, but he pointed out that the Aztecs have this incredible streak going, Tony, that against the quad three and quad four opponents, which San Jose State is, teams, they've won 57 games in a row against those teams. They have not had a bad loss in like 5 years. And I'm not trying to foretell one tonight, That's just really impressive. I mean, to show up and take everybody's best shot the way the Aztecs do and, you know, find a way to get it done. And I think it's, you know, Brian Dutcher's way of doing things. He will not allow his team to rest and go into a game not ready to play. And, you know, you talk about great coaching. That is a part of great coaching, is to always have your team prepared, especially against teams you should beat.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's what's made them special. I think it's also a test. It also shows you how difficult the Mountain West Conference is this year, right? They haven't been able to put some of these games away on the road because this conference has been so legit this year. I don't think it's going to be a problem come tournament time because, A, you're on a neutral site anyway, so there isn't any road games. And we know how this team can defend, ultimately. That's the thing that's going to, you know.
You know, what's really interesting, too, was Mark Fisher, Steve's son, who is still on the coaching staff. They asked him, you know, the broadcasters asked him before the last game in Fresno why he thought they hadn't played as well on the road. And everybody's looked to the Aztecs and their offense, and they didn't shoot the ball as well, and they didn't execute down the stretch in some of those games. But Mark Fisher's reaction to why they weren't playing as well on the road was that their defense was not up to their ability.
Yeah,
and he just said, you know, they weren't changing games with their defense. At home, they're always making plays on defense to set up their offense. That he felt that they need to play better defense. I just thought that was interesting because really nobody was looking at the defense. And he said, you know, for us to be as good as we can be, we have to be elite at that end of the floor. And he goes, we haven't been on the road. And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's I think it's spot on. I mean, I think we talked about it the last game. It was hard to remember the last time the Aztecs let a team shoot 50%.
That's right. Yeah, and Utah State did. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, that's I mean, there's a reason why he's on the staff. He knows that team inside and out. So, let's get to break. When we come back, we're gonna play some of the Michael King interview from our guys in the morning, Ben and Woods, and plus we'll have some more Padre talk right here. I'm going to Chris. 6:36 on the clock here in the desert. 5:37 now. There in San Diego, also 6:37 out in the Kirk,
Albuquerque,
New Mexico. Chris will be in the pit tomorrow. Chris,
I love the pit. Yeah, I'll be there tomorrow. I always get a charge out of walking into that building, Tony. It's they have this humongous ramp that goes down to the floor level. And one of the things the men and women's basketball players all like to do is they stand at the bottom of the ramp, they get a running start, and they try to roll a basketball up the ramp and get it all the way to the top. And it's next to impossible to do, but I don't know, it's something they all enjoy, can I tell you.
Isn't that what Spiro Dias said, that the pit is kind of hard to get around because there's lots of like inclines and all that?
You know, if you walk up the stairs from the floor to the concourse level, you're going to be out of breath, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Because of the altitude.
I got to go in there. We were there to play New Mexico one year and kind of snuck in to see what the inside of the pit was like. It's pretty legit.
I mean, yeah, it looks legit. Like it's a great venue. And the fans here, although definitely rude, are very loud, and it makes for a really fun atmosphere. I always enjoy coming in and playing a game here. They even yell at the broadcaster here, so I kind of get a kick out of it.
What do they yell at you for? Like, hey, you're describing that play wrong. You stink.
Go the hell back home, you soft Southern Californian. You know,
oh
stuff
my
like
gosh.
That. Yeah,
wow.
They don't mess around.
Going for the jug. All right, let's check some traffic and then get into this Michael King interview.
All right. So real quick, I found this headline on the news I was searching, and it's about Anthony Rendon. He has opened himself up to this, I think. But the headline of this article is, congrats to LA Angels' Anthony Rendon, who played in a baseball game over the weekend, which I think is kind of hilarious, actually. Yeah, Michael King was on with Ben and Woods this morning. So if you want to hear the full interview, you can go to 97.3thefansd.com. And he had a lot of good things to say. When Tony and I talked to him, you know, maybe a month and a half ago, like, his energy was through the roof, and his energy is continuing to be through the roof. But one of the things I found interesting was his transition to the Padres, and he said he feels much better because of something that his teammate did for him.
Honestly, I think it's been a much easier transition because of the pitching camp that we did in January. I know Musgrove put it on, so I'm super appreciative of him, not only just to meet a couple of the pitchers, but the staff too. And I didn't have to come in and learn 200 people's names. Yeah. You know, I had a good week to really get to know all these guys. And it's been a much easier transition because I didn't come into a spring training complex not knowing where I am and who I'm with.
Sure.
I knew exactly who I was with and just had to kind of learn the ropes here.
There he is.
That was good. I am a big fan of Ben and Woods, but do you notice during every interview when we play a clip, whatever the interviewee says, Woodsy throws a couple of sure in there. He likes to interject that.
But
I just noticed that in the last answer.
Isn't that like conversational?
I do that. I definitely do that, for sure.
Oh, you do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't mind it. It is definitely conversational. But I know that when you're trying to play a clean soundbite.
Oh, this is where it stems from.
That's where it stems. That's where it stems from. If you're trying to play a clean soundbite, you don't want the interviewer jumping in with a... Sure. Yeah, I get you. Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
well,
yeah.
Well, next time you step all over the answers, I will make sure to send that over to the morning show.
Yes, you please return it. They're probably listening right now, and they're not pleased.
There you go, Michael King. He does sound like... Sam told me something today that was pretty surprising, but he put out a number of innings he wanted to pitch this year, and he said he wanted to hit 180, and he referenced
good.
Seth
he
Lugo.
He said 180 to 200 is what he said.
Oh, 180 to... See, Sam just gave me the low range on that, but 180 is a lot. And we were looking through his numbers and everything, and he has pitched, he's started, but it doesn't seem like he's gone more than, you know, he's not even close to 180 innings in his career.
Well,
so...
I mean, he has-
they're using a blueprint, possibly, of Seth Lugo as to how they're going to extend his innings.
If he makes 30 starts, I mean, six innings a start is 180 right there. So, I mean, you know, I think that's a good goal to have, and I think that's what you should be after. I mean, certainly, you know, baseball and pitching and innings has changed over the time, but I think it's good. I mean, you're not going to pitch that many innings if you don't think you're going to.
Yeah. All right.
Once again, I'm just talking into the dead air. I'm sorry, guys.
No, it's just...
I tried to get in there. I was waiting for you to finish.
Yeah, it's all weird.
I think that... I think Chris is right. You have to at least think that. Now, the Padres ultimately will make the decision in terms of what they think is best for them. But his mindset has to be, I'm pitching 180 to 200 innings. That's my goal. Now, you know, if he's feeling good, we'll see where it goes. But you know they're gonna, watch his starts, try to bring have his innings down, increase a little bit, but not like, what was his max innings? Scrabe, you got it?
Let me double check before I give wrong information.
Just trust it. No, don't trust it. I'm
done. You told the wrong guy to trust it, because I will throw
it.
Out a number
don't
out there if you
it.
Want me to. His most innings ever, according to Baseball Reference, in a season last year, 104.2.
Yeah, I mean, going to 180, I would love to see
that's
it.
That's a jump.
That's a big jump, though. Seth didn't even get to 180 last year, did he? Lugo?
No, but he jumped like 80 innings himself.
Okay, so then maybe it's a possibility, but this is a young arm. I don't know. We'll see. I hope he gets an opportunity to do it, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Padres are like, maybe not 180.
Seth Lugo had
be careful.
146 be careful. Innings pitched last year.
I mean,
and he missed
146?
Yeah, and he missed time, too.
Don't forget that Blake Snell last year, winning the Cy Young Award, only recorded 3 outs all season long past the 6th inning. I mean, that's
Wait,
that's
say
amazing.
That one more time.
He only recorded
Blake Snell
3 outs.
Recorded only 3 outs past the 6th inning last year.
Well, is that because he walked so many guys his pitch count was way up?
Well, maybe so, but I'm just saying. I mean, they found something that worked with him, and they kept him, you know, around that 6-inning mark, and guy wins the Cy Young.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah.
a pretty, you know, that's pretty good managing right there, but it just shows how things are different, obviously, than they ever were before. And, you know, if you are of the mindset that you're going to pitch 7 or 8 innings, I don't know that the Padres are going to allow that unless your pitch count is really, really low.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, he's got a chance, though. I mean, if Lugo went up from below, what, he was like 80-something, wasn't he?
Yeah, he actually threw 100 innings twice in his career previous, but he had 65 the year before he came to the Padres.
So he made an 80-inning jump, basically?
Yeah, he did. Which
so we'll see.
Is
we'll
a lot
see.
Of innings. All right, I am going to move on to the next clip, but... this one is about Joe Musgrove and his leadership. And so they asked him about Joe Musgrove, and Michael King described how helpful he's been.
He's incredible. Extremely hard worker. He almost makes me feel like I'm not doing enough. I feel like I do a lot. So I don't know if I've beaten him to the field yet this spring. He's here all the time. And then just talking to him baseball-wise, he's such a student of the game. And it's great for me because I had my 9 starts last year, but I'm still learning as a starting pitcher, and now I got a guy like Joe that can actually teach me about his routine, his bullpen routine, how he's attacking hitters, what he sees in different swings, why to do something in a second or third time through, and it's something that's like absolutely invaluable to me.
Everybody loves No Joe. I mean, come on, he's the guy.
Yes, I don't know that we can say anything else about Joe. I mean, this dude is he's everything you want in a leader. I mean, I think he is and it's organic. It's not forced. It's not like he don't have to pretend. It's him. It's who he is. And so, you know, when you get a guy like that, it generally makes everybody else feel comfortable. I mean, and he's just like as long as you are about the right stuff. He'll be all in. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's good to have him as one of the leaders of that team. They got a few of them, but he's certainly one of them.
All right, we were talking about the innings and everything. So Michael King was also asked by Ben and Woods. Excuse me.
Hey, you know what's funny? Whoops. Hey, you know what's funny? You know the one intro when we're coming in, and I'm like. Like still on my spit,
yeah.
I did that during the broadcast, the webcast today.
It was on a
homer to left, and I just like it was right in the middle of my home run call.
That's
and
amazing.
I had to apologize to everybody for. I don't know what that was. But.
Did Jesse look at you like, what was that?
No, Jesse kept it moving. He kept
Jesse
it moving.
Jesse Agler looked over and said, excuse me?
Oh, man. All right, here is the workload conversation and how they're going to try and get him more innings.
Ruben said there's going to be no restrictions, but they're just going to monitor it. And now I'm okay with that. They had Seth Lugo last year go from 60 to 150 or whatever it is. And I was appreciative. He said that we're going to monitor if your arm slot starts dropping, if your velocity starts dropping. I got to be communicative about how my body's feeling. And as long as all those things are checking out, then he said, you're full go. I know Lugo's best month last year was in September. And so it's like a guy that has never pitched that much had his best month with all these innings on his arm. So I think it's great that I'm in the situation that I'm in because they just did it last year. But I feel like there should be no restrictions. I'm going to make sure that I take care of my body and make sure that I'm healthy enough to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all that is fine and dandy, but let one of the degrees of your elbow in your and your windup have dropped down a little bit, you're going to miss a start, brother. You know, it's just, you know, they're going to tell you, it's like, oh, yeah, we'll monitor it. Yeah, for sure. We'll monitor it as long as everything checks. As long as everything checks out, you'll be able to go full tilt, for sure.
I think I would have been able to pitch a lot of innings because I threw so slow that my velocity would have never gone down.
Oh,
like it would have,
it would have never gone down. They would have never seen a change over time.
Right. Yeah, they wouldn't have noticed the drop off.
Man, this guy is still throwing heat.
He's still throwing 75. This is wonderful.
Chris, have you ever walked past one of those radar guns and thrown recently to see how fast you could throw?
At the ballpark?
Yeah. I did
I'm not
going to
do that because I don't really feel like throwing my arm out.
That's a good call.
What would happen.
That's a good call. So, I did one 2 years ago, and it was so embarrassing. I never will do it again. I just do not have the arm for that. So I think that everything that Michael King said there is great, but we still have to see him go out and do it, is what I'm the sentiment of the chat. So
I am good with that, but I mean, you got to be feeling like everything is very upbeat and positive surrounding this guy. I mean,
yes,
you hear nothing but, you know, glowing reports from everybody who saw him with the Yankees, and he's done nothing to change that here in his first couple of spring outings.
By the way, they all still need to go out and do it. Like, I mean,
yeah,
that's like that's like the theme of this year. Oh, you just got to go out and do it, because last year you didn't go down that way. You know, so everybody's under the same idea that, you know, you're gonna have to. It's gonna be what happens on the field this year. There's paper's paper.
It is. All right, last thing we'll hear from Michael King on Ben and Woods. Again, if you want to hear the full interview, 973thefansd.com. But Michael King... All right, so real quick, I found this headline on the news I was searching, and it's about Anthony Rendon. He has opened himself up to this, I think, but the headline of this article is, "Congrats to LA Angels' Anthony Rendon, who played in a baseball game over the weekend," which I think is kind of hilarious, actually.
Yeah,
Michael King was on with Ben and Woods this morning, so if you want to hear the full interview, you can go to 973thefansd.com. And he had a lot of good things to say. When Tony and I talked to him, you know, maybe a month and a half ago, like, his energy was through the roof, and his energy is continuing to be through the roof. But one of the things I found interesting was his transition to the Padres, and he said he feels much better because of something that his teammate did for him.
Honestly, I think it's been a much easier transition because of the pitching camp that we did in January. I know Musgrove put it on, so I'm super appreciative of him, not only just to meet a couple of the pitchers, but the staff too. And I didn't have to come in and learn 200 people's names.
Yeah.
You know, I had a good week to really get to know all these guys, and it's been a much easier transition because I didn't come into a spring training complex not knowing where I am and who I'm with.
Sure.
I knew exactly who I was with and just had to kind of learn the ropes here.
There he is.
That was good. I am a big fan of Ben and Woods, but do you notice during every interview when we play a clip, whatever the interviewee says, Woodsy throws a couple of "sure" in there. He likes to interject that.
But
I just noticed that in the last
answer. Isn't that like conversational?
I do that.
It's converse.
I definitely do that, for sure.
Oh, you do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't mind it. It is definitely conversational. But I know that when you're trying to play a clean soundbite.
Oh, this is where it stems from.
That's where it stems. That's where it stems from. If you're trying to play a clean soundbite, you don't want the interviewer jumping in with a "sure, yeah, I get you. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah."
Well,
yeah.
Well, next time you step all over the answers, I will make sure to send that over to the morning show.
Yes, you please return it. They're probably listening right now, and they're not pleased.
There you go, Michael King. He does sound like... Sam told me something today that was pretty surprising, but he put out a number of innings he wanted to pitch this year, and he said he wanted to hit 180, and he referenced
Good.
Seth Lugo.
He said 180 to 200 is what he said.
Oh, 180 to... See, Sam just gave me the low range on that, but 180 is a lot. And we were looking through his numbers and everything, and he has pitched, he's started, but it doesn't seem like he's gone more than, you know, he's not even close to 180 innings in his career.
Well,
so...
I mean,
they're using a blueprint, possibly, of Seth Lugo as to how they're going to extend his innings.
If he makes 30 starts, I mean, 6 innings a start is 180 right there. So, I mean, you know, I think that's a good goal to have, and I think that's what you should be after. I mean, certainly, you know, baseball and pitching and innings has changed over the time, but I think it's good. I mean, you're not going to pitch that many innings if you don't think you're going to.
Yeah. All right.
Once again, I'm just talking into the dead air. I'm sorry, guys.
I tried to get in there. I was waiting for you to finish.
Yeah, it's all weird.
I think Chris is right. You have to at least think that. Now, the Padres ultimately will make the decision in terms of what they think is best for him. But his mindset has to be, I'm pitching 180 to 200 innings. That's my goal. Now, you know, if he's feeling good, we'll see where it goes. But they're gonna watch his starts, try to bring his innings down, increase a little bit, but not like what was his max innings? Scrabe, you got it?
Let me double check before I give wrong information.
Just trust it. No, don't trust it. I'm
you told the wrong guy to trust it, because I will throw out a number out there if you want me to. His most innings ever, according to Baseball Reference, in a season last year, 104.2.
Yeah, I mean, going to 180, I would love to see it.
That's a jump.
That's a big jump, though. Seth didn't even get to 180 last year, did he? Lugo?
No, but he jumped like 80 innings himself.
Okay, so then maybe it's a possibility, but this is a young arm. I don't know. We'll see. I hope he gets an opportunity to do it, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Padres are like, maybe not 180.
Seth Lugo had
be careful.
146 innings pitched last year.
I mean, 146?
Yeah, and he missed time, too.
Don't forget that Blake Snell last year, winning the Cy Young Award, only recorded 3 outs all season long past the 6th inning. I mean, that's
amazing.
Say
that one more time.
He only recorded
Blake Snell
3 outs.
Recorded only 3 outs past the 6th inning last year.
Well, is that because he walked so many guys, his pitch count was way up?
Well, maybe so, but I'm just saying. I mean, they found something that worked with him, and they kept him, you know, around that 6th inning mark, and guy wins the Cy Young.
Cy Young.
I mean, that's
a
pretty, you know, that's pretty good managing right there. But it just shows how things are different, obviously, than they ever were before. And you know, if you are of the mindset that you're going to pitch 7 or 8 innings, I don't know that the Padres are going to allow that unless your pitch count is really, really low.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, he's got a chance though. I mean, if Lugo went up from below what he was like 80 something, wasn't he?
Yeah, he actually threw 100 innings twice in his career previous, but he had 65 the year before he came to the Padres.
So he made an 80 inning jump, basically.
Yeah, he did. Which
so we'll see.
Is
we'll
a lot
see.
Of innings. All right, I am going to move on to the next clip, but this one is about Joe Musgrove and his leadership. And so they asked him about Joe Musgrove, and Michael King described how helpful he's been.
He's incredible. Extremely hard worker. He almost makes me feel like I'm not doing enough. I feel like I do a lot. So I don't know if I've beaten him to the field yet this spring. He's here all the time. And then just talking to him baseball-wise, he's such a student of the game. And it's great for me because I had my 9 starts last year, but I'm still learning as a starting pitcher, and now I got a guy like Joe that can actually teach me about his routine, his bullpen routine, how he's attacking hitters, what he sees in different swings, why to do something in a second or third time through, and it's something that's like absolutely invaluable to me.
Everybody loves No Joe. I mean, come on, he's the guy.
Yes, I don't know that we can say anything else about Joe. I mean, this dude is he's everything you want in a leader. I mean, I think he is it's organic. It's not forced. It's not like he don't have to pretend. It's him. It's who he is. And so, you know, when you get a guy like that, it generally makes everybody else feel comfortable. I mean, and he's just like he's as long as you are about the right stuff. He'll be all in. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's good to have him as one of the leaders of that team. They got a few of them, but he's certainly one of them.
All right, we were talking about the innings and everything, so Michael King was also asked by Ben and Woods. Excuse me.
Hey, you know what's funny? Whoops. Hey, you know what's funny? You know the one intro when we're coming in and I like choke on my spit?
Yeah.
I did that during the broadcast, the webcast today.
It was on a
homer to left, and I just like I can't. It was right in the middle of my home run call.
I had to
apologize to everybody for, I don't know what that was. But.
Did Jesse look at you like, what was that?
No, Jesse kept it moving. He kept
Jesse
it moving.
Jesse Agler looked over and said, excuse me?
Oh, man. All right, here is the workload conversation and how they're going to try and get him more innings.
Ruben said there's going to be no restrictions, but they're just going to monitor it. And that I'm okay with that. They had Seth Lugo last year go from 60 to 150 or whatever it is. And so I was appreciative. He said that we're going to monitor if your arm slot starts dropping, if your velocity starts dropping. I got to be communicative about how my body's feeling. And as long as all those things are checking out, then he said you're full go. I know Lugo's best month last year was in September. And so it's like a guy that has never pitched that much had his best month with all these innings on his arm. So I think it's great that I'm in the situation that I'm in because they just did it last year. But I feel like there should be no restrictions. I'm going to make sure that I take care of my body and make sure that I'm healthy enough to do it.
Yeah, I mean, all that is fine and dandy. But let one of the degrees of your elbow in your windup have dropped down a little bit. You're going to miss a start, brother. You know, it's just, you know, they're going to tell you, we'll monitor it. Yeah, for sure. We'll monitor it as long as everything checks. As long as everything checks out, you'll be able to go full tilt, for sure.
I think I would have been able to pitch a lot of innings because I threw so slow that my velocity would have never gone down.
Oh,
it would have worked.
It would have never gone down. They would have never seen a change over time.
Right. Yeah, they wouldn't have noticed the drop off.
Man, this guy is still throwing heat.
He's still throwing 75. This is wonderful.
Chris, have you ever walked past one of those radar guns and thrown recently to see how fast you could throw?
At the ballpark?
Yeah. I did.
No,
one, like,
I'm
2 years
not going to do that because I don't really feel like throwing my arm out.
That's a good call.
What would happen?
That's a good call. So, I did one 2 years ago, and it was so embarrassing. I never will do it again. Because I just do not have the arm for that. So I think that everything that Michael King said there is great, but we still have to see him go out and do it, is what I'm the sentiment of the chat. So
I am good with that, but I mean, you got to be feeling like everything is very upbeat and positive surrounding this guy. I mean, you hear nothing but, you know, glowing reports from everybody who saw him with the Yankees, and he's done nothing to change that here in his first couple of spring outings.
By the way, they all still need to go out and do it. Like, I mean, that's like the theme of this year. Oh, you just got to go out and do it because last year, you didn't go down that way. You know, so everybody's under the same idea that, you know, you're gonna have to. It's gonna be what happens on the field this year. It is.
All right, last thing we'll hear from Michael King on Ben and Woods. Again, if you want to hear the full interview, 973thefansd.com. But Michael King talked about the other pitchers that came with him in the Juan Soto trade.
Great arms, yeah. I mean, Brito and Vasquez are two young guys that I think have a ton of upside. I don't know if you've seen, you probably saw Vasquez a couple days ago pitch. His stuff is absolutely electric. Once he figures out, like, sequences and learning swings and reading hitters, he's going to be an elite starter. Brito is almost already there. He has such a good feel for his command, where his body's moving. And it's another thing is, like you said, you got to think on the mound a little bit. You got to know who's on deck. You got to know the situation. And like, this kid out there is already doing it. And they're both mid-20s. It's really impressive.
Now, I noticed, Tony, on the camera, you were nodding your head in agreement about
Brito.
It was
Brito and Vasquez. Both got really good stuff. But you can tell, you know, Brito went up against, if I'm not mistaken, he went up against the Dodgers, and I think he gave up the homer in the first.
Freddie,
and then he didn't give up anything after that. If I'm not mistaken, but the stuff is there. I mean, Vasquez was running it up to around 97, so everything that Michael just said is factual. Now, just because you throw hard and you got good stuff doesn't translate to you being able to get big leaguers out consistently, right? Because what we do know at the big league level, and you start to see it a lot in spring training, or you see it a lot in spring training, and it starts, and it really separates the big leaguers from the everybody else, and that's walks. Like, when you're walking people consistently in camp, I mean, you have to have exceptional stuff in order. I mean, otherwise, teams, just, they can't use you. If you're putting people on base on the big league level, you're going to get burned.
Unless you're Blake Snell, then you win the Cy Young.
Yeah. And listen, if we're being honest, I bet you Blake could tell you he couldn't have another year in which he led the league in walks and led the league in strikeouts. Like, that's, you know, that's such a – it's never been done. He's the only person to ever do it. So, it's just – even him, who has the best stuff in baseball, probably couldn't repeat that.
That is a cool
– I have a question, Tony.
Yeah, go for it.
Just, you know, comparing your dad and when he hit and comparing you when you hit and the velocity being what it is now – what adjustments would your dad have made, or what adjustments did he try to have you make in order to keep up with the speed? I mean, you're talking about, you know, Vasquez, 97. I mean, everybody's 97, 96, 90. I mean, you know, yeah, we've talked about it. When your dad played, there might be one guy on each staff who could throw that hard. Now everybody does.
I mean, my dad would tell you that there would be no adjustment made for him because, you know, his objective was different than I think most hitters in today's league, right? Or today's, they want the ball to look and come off a certain way. Whereas my dad just, he wanted to hit a line dry. He wanted to barrel the ball up on a line left center to right center. And that would just stayed that simple. He didn't have all these other thoughts. And so for him, he would tell you, I could hear his voice right now saying, get in position, take the swing. And that's what he would do. It's just that simple. I think that's in terms of, and I just think that because he wasn't trying, he was trying to hit a line drive, and those turned into homers versus, you know, trying to really, like, drive the ball. I think it's a different result.
Best right. to do it that I ever saw.
I can't wait for us to be in a better place tomorrow with our connections and all this other stuff.
Yeah, no, this was a tough finish right here.
Yes, it was. Chris?
Yes?
You want to take us out?
Sure.
All right.
The Scraby Chronicles are coming up next. I can't imagine what Scraby's daily gripe will be, but I'm looking forward to it. We'll be back tomorrow, spread out all over the Southwest United States. For Tony Gwynn Jr. and Mr. Scraby, Chris Ello, enjoy the rest of your evening, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.